A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything.
Hello, babies. Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
We're the Baby Geniuses.
I liked our intro last time when you were the sassy one.
Yeah,
I was the cute one.
I'm the one who's always here.
I'm the silly one.
Both totally accurate.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm like, I haven't showered in a while.
Ooh, me neither.
I had one of my, like, quarantine breakdowns yesterday where I just start crying in the middle of, like, a normal sentence for no reason.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's okay. It's very weird. It's sort of like, I feel like this whole thing feels like when I first got my period when I was 13, where I truly feel like divorced from my body's reaction to stimulus.
God, what a betrayal of our bodies that was.
Right?
My first cramps were like so bad that I almost passed out. Like,
oh my God.
It was so horrendous.
I was in the middle of taking a standardized test to get into a private high school. I was like, it was a Saturday. I was taking a test, like a standardized test. And I like went to the bathroom and I got my period for the first time. And I told the girl sitting at the table with me who I had never met before.
What did she say?
I truly don't remember. I think she was just like, oh, wow. You know, and I, yeah.
You're a woman now.
I have no idea.
I got mine at the zoo.
Really?
Yeah, it was in England. I don't know if it was the London Zoo. I don't remember, but it was at the zoo.
Wow.
I think that's appropriate.
I was so excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because my friends had gotten it and I felt jealous.
I think I felt like, oh, no. Now I have to deal with this.
I think that's a more intelligent reaction.
It's just like, oh,
than
brother.
Mine, now which was just like relentless competitiveness.
My feeling was just like, oh, I can't put this cat back in the bag. Like, you know, we can't go back now. Like, this is just going to be happening.
I was always trying to skip ahead to the next phase of my life. I never wanted to hang on to any phase I was in.
I definitely wanted to skip ahead to boobs.
Oh, yeah, that for sure.
Yeah.
If only I had known how great it was to not have boobs.
I know. I really took it for granted. They're pretty obnoxious.
Oh, boy. Yeah. What was I going to say? I didn't get... I just remember, I mean, the reason why I brought it up is because I remember, like, the first time I had my period, it wasn't the first day, it was just, like, maybe a couple days in. I remember sitting on my bed and crying, and my mom comforting me, and me being like, I don't know why I'm crying right now.
Yeah. And now that happens to me once a month.
Oh, yeah. Once a month at minimum.
Yeah.
I'm not on my period right now, but I just feel like it's...
I meant once a month for 3 days straight.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm okay, I suppose.
You did a fun poll on Twitter
to explore
this theory of ours.
Right. The last episode, we talked about my difficulty in obtaining a refill for a very boring prescription that I take. And our conversation made me curious to try and find out, like, is this happening more to other people? And so I posted a poll on Twitter asking if anyone had had a hard time or had been asked to do lab work for a prescription that normally doesn't require lab work since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And most people hadn't, but there were enough people that responded that they had, I think like almost 100 people or something.
There's that one person that responded that she had to like go into her doctor for lab work, which she normally wouldn't have had to do. And then she got a message that she had been exposed to COVID.
When she did it, yeah, I was just like,
it's so horrifying.
Yeah.
Risking your life for a fucking thyroid medication refill.
Yeah. For her, I think it was maybe birth control for controlling PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. And like, anyway, the whole thing is incredibly frustrating and infuriating. And let us know if that has happened to you. babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com. I love some anecdotal evidence. And if you're a doctor and you have any idea why this is happening, let us know.
Yeah. I mean, one of our listeners wrote in and said this happened to her. And she said, I think hospitals are trying to enforce what might have been always considered best practice, like all the regular checkups and screenings, to replace lost revenue. But it's really shitty to use medications as leverage. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
And I'm not sure that's what's happening, but like, because someone else on Twitter was like, your doctor doesn't get any money from lab work. But
don't they from like you going in for an appointment? Like, or?
Yeah, but she wasn't actually asking for that. Hmm. She was just asking for the lab work. And then I took the appointment to try and reason with her.
They don't they don't get money like through insurance companies or whatever if you have to go in.
I'm not sure. I mean, that's the other thing where I'm like, I just truly don't know enough about how the medical system works. And like, I don't know, maybe they're being told to, maybe there's a deal. I don't want to become a conspiracy theorist about this, but.
But some conspiracies are based in reality. most aren't. I mean, this doesn't even feel like a conspiracy. This just feels like a symptom of our whole system being fucked up.
I am going to badly paraphrase an article that my husband read and what he told me about it. But it was an article about conspiracy theories and like how.
Was it about QAnon?
Maybe. Yeah. Yes.
I have that article in a tab and I haven't read it yet.
so you can't correct me then.
No, I can't.
But there was something where they've done enough research about how information spreads about actual conspiracies to know that like depending on how many people would be involved in the cover up, you can basically predict how long they'd be able to keep it a secret. And for things like the moon landing being faked, they were like, if that had been faked, it would have leaked 3 years after it happened.
Yeah.
Because there would have to be like 100,000 people involved in the cover up.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting that we can like, we know enough science to be able to figure that out.
That's my thing with most of these conspiracies is I'm like, people aren't that good at keeping secrets.
Yeah. I'm like, who do you know? Like, I don't know if I know. I feel like my husband is the only person I can think of who might be able to keep any interesting secrets.
I mean, people can keep a surprising amount like of shit on lockdown if they need to, but like someone's going to leak.
But there's just like the ones that require so many people to be involved. Yeah. I'm like, one of those people loves gossip.
At least.
One of those people gets blackout drunk. One of those people doesn't know how to change their password online. You know, like, there's no way everyone is that good at keeping secrets.
Yeah.
They should just have only magicians involved because they're so good at keeping secrets.
They're too good at keeping secrets. I get frustrated with that. I'm like, come on.
Just tell me.
Like when I watch that show with Penn and Teller, where they try to like, you know, get one past them. Whenever Penn and Teller figure it out, I'm like, come on, just tell the rest of us.
Do you think that Teller doesn't speak because he knows that if he did, he would just tell everyone how they did their tricks? He doesn't have enough self-control, so he had to create this persona that is mute.
The Society of Magicians actually cut his tongue out for telling too many, for revealing too many tricks.
Oh, man.
That's their punishment. It's pretty severe.
That is very severe.
Yeah.
What else has been going on with you? You started roller skating.
I
you
did.
Said you would, and you did it.
I did it. I got all the stuff, and I did it. And I don't know that much about roller skating, so I thought, great, I'll go to the parking lot of the LA Zoo. And it's a very rough, rocky asphalt with lots of cracks in it and lots of like inclines. And
oh,
I was like,
man,
cool, I'm going to go for it. And I fell like 12 times. I fell so much.
Oh, man.
And like at one point, a jogger was like, are you okay?
Oh, no. And were you okay?
What?
Were you okay?
I had so much padding. I thought I'm invincible, but I'm not. I definitely like bruised my hand and hurt my butt.
Oh.
So I'm going to be a little more careful next time and try to pick a smoother spot.
Yeah, that might be smart.
Skating's really hard. Big ups to anyone who's good at it, because it's fucking hard.
Yeah, and the people who are good at it do it in a way that is, like, so hard.
I know.
Like, the coolest looking skaters are doing it in a way that's, like...
It's insane.
I had a dream last night that I had a roller skating birthday party, and like so many of my dreams lately, halfway through it, I was like, have we taken any coronavirus precautions? Like, it starts out without any, like, with not being in a coronavirus world, and then after a little while, I start panicking because I'm like, no one here is wearing a mask.
I was watching that documentary, United Skates, and like, it's so beautiful. Like, it's so great to see all these amazing skaters from all over the country. But yeah, it's just crazy seeing all these people crowded into a rink together. Like,
oh God, yeah. So many things that I've been watching lately. I'm like, why are you guys touching?
Yeah, careful.
Yeah, I wonder when that's going to stop.
I know. It's weird working on a show right now that doesn't really like acknowledge that or engage with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, there'll be a scene where, like, people are in an office working in cubicles, and I'm like, well, this is a relic of the past. Who knows if this will ever be a thing ever again?
Ever again, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
strange.
And
it's like, is it going to be the type of thing that we're going to want? Like, yeah.
I don't know. Well, by the time...
Even if things go back to normal, like, will we... I don't know. It's very... Especially, yeah, I mean, you and I are both in the same industry. Like, we have to grapple with these questions now.
Yeah. But I don't like to make things that directly address, like, current times and current events. Because
yeah.
I think that dates things. You know, I like to kind of...
Yeah.
You know.
But at the same time, it's like, well, am I dating this by having people working in cubicles?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. It makes me want to set everything deliberately in the past.
Yeah. Or in like just an alternate universe, which this kind of is.
Yeah, yours isn't an maybe coronavirus never happened. I think for Tuk and Birdie, you have a lot of leeway there in terms of like maybe it never touched that city.
I mean, bird flu was a big problem. But we're not.
But that's just
that.
The normal flu there.
That comes around once a year. You get your bird flu shot.
Yeah.
Chicken pox is a problem. So is penguin pox, toucan pox, all the poxes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just pitching now.
thank
God
man.
For this stupid, stupid job. that keeps my mind busy throughout the week.
Yeah. Oh man, I've been like really having a hard time getting stuff done lately.
Yeah.
I
feel that.
I need to get back on a regular routine schedule. It was working for me for a while. I had like a schedule that I was doing that was working, and then as soon as it got thrown off a little bit, it was just like my entire like way of functioning fell apart.
I know. I need more structure.
Yeah.
If you ever want to like just Zoom and have like a writing sesh, but we're both on Zoom, I don't know if that would even work, but we could try it.
I think it would. We could minimize the window.
Yeah. And then we would have like 5-minute breaks for gossip and then go back to work.
Yeah. Well, there's this app that I've never used that I keep recommending to people, even though I've never used it, called Focus Mate, where the function of it is just you log on, it pairs you with someone random.
Whoa.
But like, I think you can request, like, I only want to be paired with other women, or like, but it's, and you're not allowed to network with them or anything like that. And it's usually a lot of like grad students and stuff, or like, you know, teachers and stuff. And you can just say like, at the, it's a 50 minute session. And at the very beginning, you just say like, hey, I'm working on this. They say, hey, I'm working on this. And then you minimize the window, you work for 50 minutes. And at the very end, you just check in with each other.
Whoa. Can you hear each other, or you just mute it, or like?
You mute it.
Oh.
But it's just the concept of like, you're paired with someone who you're sort of accountable to, even though there's no, like, it, there's something about it that works. But anyway, I would be down to do that with you. I want to like start trying to keep my regular schedule again. So
yeah,
we can chat about this off the pod, and I can tell you when my like writing hours are supposed to be and things like that.
Yeah. I think that'd be helpful for me.
Yeah. I think it's also like byproduct of right now I'm in a moment in my work where I'm working on stuff that has no deadline.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was getting a ton done when I had deadlines, and now I don't.
Mm-hmm. I need the pressure of failure and disappointing others.
Or just like, yeah, needing it to be done.
It just needs to be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
ADHD man. It rules my life.
I don't know if I have it, but I seem to.
I mean, like, you've got...
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, am I just really, really, really bad and lazy? Or do I have some sort of...
I feel like asking yourself that question is one of the main symptoms of ADHD.
I think it is. That's what I've heard. I'm just like, why can't I just concentrate on this thing I need to do? What is wrong with me? It's like, well, maybe it's not just me.
I think it's not just you. I think that there's other things going on in your brain.
It's very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. It's like, I don't know. I've talked about this a lot. But like the idea that when you have ADHD and you have to do something, as soon as it starts being a thing that hangs over your head, it becomes harder to start working on it.
Yeah.
Because of the way your brain processes it. Like, you just cannot get the dopamine you need to get started.
That's
on
what
something
it feels
that
like.
Seems like that is what's happening.
It truly feels like a lack of dopamine. And then I'm like, I can't do this, but what I can do is work on this other silly joke thing that has nothing to do with anything. And I just can divert my energy into that. And it's like,
I gave this advice to someone else recently. Maybe it will help you, especially because you don't take ADHD medications that counteract the effect of the like lack of dopamine. Because what happens is like you're not getting as much blood flow as you need to start a task when you have ADHD. Like if there's a task that seems boring, it's like blood leaves that part of your brain or something. There's something that happens where it's just like you have less dopamine than for doing literally anything else.
Oh my gosh.
But so for me, the biggest help is you have to change your mindset about the thing that you need to work on. It needs to stop being a thing that you dread.
Yeah.
And so whatever you can do to put yourself back in the position where it's something that you are excited to start working on, or that you can like push past that initial resistance to starting working on it, that is so helpful, because starting is so much harder than continuing.
Yeah.
When you have ADHD, like starting is the absolute hardest part. But as soon as you get some of the easy stuff out of the way. So part of the stuff that I try and do to like get past that hurdle of like just starting something is like I consult my book of motivations, which is just a list of enemies of people who have either like fucked me over, or who I want to see me succeed because I hate them and I think that it will make them feel bad. Or people who have achieved some success that I haven't, not because they're more talented than me, but just because they finished. And I think like I don't want to want not being able to like start this and finish it to be the reason why I don't have the thing that that really like shitty person has. I mean, so trying to focus on like the good feelings you get from working on something.
This is very similar to when you had your period where it was motivated out of competition with others.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm a deeply spiteful and evil person. This is called the bitch theory of ADHD.
Is everyone with ADHD a bitch?
No, I think it's just like you have to tap into your own personality to figure out how to manage your ADHD. If you're a nice person, I'm sure that there's a different, like if you're like, I really want to just think about how people are going to be happy when I make this thing.
It's funny because I don't think I'm a nice person, but I think that does motivate me more.
Really?
Yeah.
To be I want to make people happy.
I think so, because if I'm focused on like, oh, this person has something that I deserve, then I think I just get so like overwhelmed with the unfairness of the world that I don't want to make anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, ugh, Max Landis or whatever.
Yeah, you and I have exact opposite reactions to Max Landis. Max Landis drove me to write 22 pages in 3 days one time. Max Landis makes me, powers me. I'm powered by Max Landis.
I feel exhausted. When I think of Max Landis, I just want to lie down on the floor and never get up again.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Max Landis is a sexual predator who has been extremely successful in Hollywood. And one time he posted this picture on Instagram of a bunch of scripts he finished, and I was like, and then I wrote a whole pilot in a weekend.
Those scripts weren't any good, but he still did them.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's not good. That movie Bright that everyone said was like the worst movie of all time.
Yeah, and Netflix was like, here's a bunch of money.
Yeah. Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he sucks ass. So you can feel free to snitch tag him. Just kidding. Please don't ever do that for anyone.
Stop
reason.
Snitch tagging.
Don't do that. It's so annoying.
Yeah, God. I mean, nothing makes me want to be famous less than not being able to talk shit about people without being snitch tagged.
I know, snitch tagging is really curtailing my my ambitions.
I mean, I just feel like there was, when I was binge watching Just Shoot Me, and maybe I already talked about this, there was just so much I wanted to say about it on Twitter, but I was so worried it was going to get back to people who worked on the show.
Say it to me.
I think George Segal is a terrible actor.
Oh.
I don't know
who that is. I got to look him up. Who's George
He plays
Segal?
The grandpa on the Goldbergs, and he plays the big boss in Just Shoot Me. He plays Maya's dad, Jack Gallo. And I just feel like...
Oh, this guy.
Yeah, he ruins the jokes that they give his character. He's just like... he's so big and like... Just as a writer, watching it, feeling like I would be pulling my hair out at run-throughs, just watching him butcher the material. And it's not like the material is, like, unbelievable, but it's like there are jokes that don't land because of his delivery.
Wow.
And I I posted a little bit about this on Twitter. Have we talked about Just Shoot Me at all on this podcast yet? Because I watched all of it.
We haven't talked about it that much.
Okay. Rob's saying a little bit.
A little bit.
It's a show from the late 90s, early aughts that was about a women's magazine like Cosmo. And it's like there are five characters on the show. There is Maya Gallo, who's this like feminist journalist who is down on her luck, has to take a job at this magazine that she doesn't want to work at because it's regressive. But her dad owns it and is the editor. And there's Wendy Malick, who is one of the best actors of our time.
She's fantastic.
Plays a former model, fashion editor, party girl. The best role for, like, she's so good. And David Spade, peak David Spade, plays Jack's assistant.
Gotta say, I do like a David Spade.
Yes. And then Enrico Colantoni, who's amazing, plays this, like, womanizing photographer, fashion photographer.
Should I be watching this? I haven't seen this since the 90s.
I would love for you to watch it, and I'd love to hear you weigh in. But here's the thing. So, okay. Unbelievable cast.
Right.
Here's my beef. The show would be so much better and so much more interesting if... the Jack Gallo character, who's played by George Segal, was, instead of Maya's dad, Maya's mom.
Oh.
Because at that time, there were no women's fashion magazines that were edited by men.
Yeah.
It was an anomaly. It was one of those, it's one of my particular pet peeves where a TV show that doesn't need to be majority men ends up being majority men. Like, it's set in a women's world, like sphere.
They could have had like a fun, like Anna Wintour type.
Exactly. And yeah. I mean,
if you can have that archetypal character, why would you like squander that opportunity?
It's why like would you squander character. That on like another boring, rich old guy?
Yeah.
Especially when I think that actor is bad.
I feel you.
And
guys, please do not snitch tag this 86-year-old actor. That's the problem with snitch tagging, is that it just hurts people's feelings too. Like,
yes,
don't do that.
Don't tag him. But my feeling about it was, I was like, all of the conflicts in the show would have been more interesting. Like, Maya's whole, like, feminist sort of, like, sense of compromising her values would be more interesting if she was working for her mother.
Yes, from a different way, like, of feminism and the conflict between those two. Oh, that would be juicy.
Seeing her mom as a sex traitor, like, a traitor to her sex, versus her dad, who's, like, just like a boring misogynist anyway. Like, it's a much juicier, more interesting conflict. I also think it would be a more interesting dynamic for the David Spade character to be the assistant to this high-powered middle-aged woman. He's this, like, sex-crazed pervert who, like, is sycophantic. And I'm like, that would be so much more interesting if he had mommy issues versus daddy issues.
Were there any women writers on this show?
I mean, it was created by men.
Yeah,
of course. Their, like, interest in the subject matter was so limited to the fact that there would just be models walking around.
Yeah.
That it was just, like, it was barely set in a magazine. Like, by the last season, they were just, like, not even really, like, dealing with that at all. But, anyway, I don't know why I started talking. Oh, just snitch tagging. Yeah, I just started getting obsessed with the version of the show that I was writing in my head that was better with a woman in the role.
That'd be amazing. You should reboot it.
But the problem is, print is dead, so you can't reboot.
It could be a different kind of thing. It could be a different workspace.
A different workspace. I don't. I just don't know what the current analog of that would be. I also
a tech company.
There's another really weird dissonant thing about watching Just Shoot Me Now, which is that they made this running joke of the fact that Jack Gallo, the millionaire character, is best friends with Donald Trump.
Ew.
And all of the ways that they joke about who Donald Trump is are, like, so inaccurate in ways that we couldn't have known back then, because we just, all we knew about Donald Trump at that point was, like, he was a rich guy that everyone knew was the richest guy or whatever, which is, like, all of that's not true.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, we just let him be, like, a stand-in for stereotypes about rich guys, even though there's so much more interesting, weird shit about him that we know now, about him being, like, absolutely, like, not a real human being, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this one joke that I remember really stood out to me, where Jack Gallo's saying, like, I have to get Trump a perfect birthday present because every year he gets me a better present than I get him. And he gloats about it and does a little dance. And I'm like,
none of that,
the idea of Trump buying a present for anyone.
Or doing a dance.
He just hasn't done that. He has never bought a present for someone that he wasn't, like, purchasing sex from. Like, I just don't believe it.
I don't believe it either.
So that's, like, an eerie thing about watching that show, too. There's a few weird things about it.
God.
Anyway. Did we plan on talking about Just Shoot Me for this long? No, we did not. We should probably do Chunch Chat.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
It's time for Chunch Chat, a regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about Chunch. Chunch.
There's no new Chunch news this week, and no new Martha news, but because this segment is sort of loosely about horses, I just wanted to devote it to a very good horse I know who passed away yesterday. His name was Durango, and he was Junie's boyfriend. And I know, I'm really sad about it, and he was really, really great. And just a very proud beautiful king of the wind. And I don't know. It's always so sad when a great animal has to go away. And yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, Junie, I think, has no idea. They got to say goodbye and like nuzzle each other. And I think she's just such a happy-go-lucky girl. I think she just thinks he's like on vacation somewhere and she doesn't really like understand
that he's gone.
Yeah. And I have no way of explaining it to her. So
yeah. Do you think I'm curious to see how she responds, like if she's going to start looking for him or.
I know. I think some horses will know that he's gone. Some horses that have like sort of more a deeper, you know, emotional life. Junie is a pretty blissful dummy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope nice she takes her. It okay.
I think she will.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about your friend. That's very sad.
That's all right. He's a good boy. And that concludes Chunch Chat.
That concludes Chunch Chat. We'll be right back with One on Fun. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by Native. Native deodorant is designed to block odor better with ingredients you've heard of like coconut oil, shea butter, and tapioca starch. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. I got a couple different deodorants from Native. The one that I really liked is the eucalyptus and I want to say mint, I think. And I really like those smells because it's sort of like... It just makes me feel like my sinuses are clearing when I smell it.
And it's refreshing.
Like, yes. I feel like also now that I don't see any people, like, I don't wear deodorant for other people. I wear it for myself.
Yeah.
And it's nice to use a premium product for that when it is just me. And it's just like, I just want to smell these nice smells and feel like I'm not, poisoning myself.
Yeah, it's nice to like have a nice scent to make yourself feel a little bit less like a garbage person.
Yeah. Switching to an aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean you have to sacrifice on odor protection.
With over 10 scents, including rotating seasonals, Native has something for everyone. Their most popular classic scents are coconut and vanilla. That's the one I like. Lavender and rose, cucumber and mint, and citrus and herbal.
The combinations are really nice. And I think it's just, they're just like nice, gentle products that also work.
Yeah. Make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout. That's GENIUSES. And get 20% off your first order.
That's nativedeo.com/geniuses or use promo code geniuses at checkout for 20% off your first order. Smell good.
Emily.
Yeah.
What actor do you think has the sexiest and / or the most ASMR-y voice?
Oh. Interesting question. I'm trying to remember times when actors have actually given me ASMR, and yeah. I feel like it's usually just people with accents.
Yeah, accents are really good. I don't know why. Why do we like them so much?
I'm not sure. I think that I've tried to figure out why the accents thing works. I think that there's just something about, like... I don't know. I don't know how to theorize about it. I think it's that it's like, it's part of why ASMR is triggered is like someone is like taking care of you.
Yeah.
And like, if you believe that like ASMR is as a sensation is meant to like assist in like grooming, like where it makes your hair stand on end, and that would have aided monkeys in being able to find little bugs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That, like, and it would also, like, increase sort of, like, you know, communal senses of community around doing that. There could be an evolutionary reason, and that's why the grooming and the hair stuff is such a big trigger for it.
Yeah.
if that's part of it, I think there's something about especially accents that signify someone is not speaking their native language. There's something about the effort expended to speak my language and communicate with me that feels like part of the personal attention is that effort being expended.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of that.
I don't know if that's what's happening. So what if they're just subconscious?
What if they're just British? Or like Irish?
I don't know why that. I mean, I think it's also I don't know. I don't know why it works, but I don't know if I can think of any actors who have ever done that, but I do think that there are some actors with who has like the sexiest voice.
Yeah.
Fuck, who was I just thinking of? Who has a really sexy voice? I think the guy who plays Lawrence on Insecure has a very sexy voice.
Oh yeah.
Jay Ellis.
Yeah. His voice is great.
Yeah. But I feel like I'm not thinking of people who I've thought that about.
That's all right. I put you on the spot.
Yeah. And I think I don't think about actors in the way that you do necessarily. For the most part, actors do not turn me on.
Oh. They turn me on sometimes. And I also think about their voices a lot because I'm like, do I want to cast a voice?
Oh, yeah. You have to think about that in ways that I don't.
Which is fun.
I will say I do have a crush on Columbo. And I told Peter, and he's been making fun of me about it.
Is he okay with it?
I think so, yeah. I think he's okay with it.
I must say Adam is like very tolerant of my celebrity crushes.
Yeah.
And it's very nice.
It's a weird thing where like I don't know how I'd feel if he told me about people. Like he's never told me. Is that a weird like gender double standard?
I think it is a double standard. I think if Adam had a crush on a female celebrity to the degree that I crush on male celebrities, I would be perturbed.
Yeah, I think the only times that I can think of it where I'm like, where I would be excited to hear about it would be if she was like really old.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is, and I think it's probably unfair.
No,
that's I in my head I demand that he tolerate this from me.
Yeah.
But I think Columbo, it's very specific because he's just so charismatic in a way that's so he's a very like, you don't know you're beautiful. Because he's so rumpled, you know?
You want to smooth his rumples and tell him he's beautiful.
Oh, Lisa, I need you to watch Columbo.
Ugh, I have to watch Columbo and Just Shoot Me?
No, I guess you don't. I don't think you need to watch Just Shoot Me. I think you'll like Columbo a lot more. Columbo's a lot better.
Oof.
A
lot of people are watching it lately. A lot of people are watching Columbo and Hannibal, and I have no idea why.
Oh, I haven't heard about people watching Hannibal.
Suddenly all my friends are watching it. I don't know why.
Weird. Yeah.
Quarantine's
doing weird stuff to people.
Weird stuff.
Yeah. Okay, Lisa. God, I've really been avoiding asking you a question.
I know.
Okay. If you had to pick a uniform for humanity, what would it be? Did I already ask you this at some point?
No, probably. You didn't. Really, really short shorts that are lavender and like a little, like kind of like a marching band jacket.
Like with epaulettes?
Yes. I keep sort of like half burping. I don't know if the mic is catching that, but it's adding to
Lisa's the jinx.
It's really, I am the jinx. I feel like it's really adding
Killed
to my
them all.
Description. And a little like a sailor hat. like a captain's hat.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think that's it. Barefoot.
Wow. This is not a very practical uniform.
Too bad. We all have to wear it. Keep those shorts short. If you try to lengthen them, you will be punished.
Yeah. Can we do an endorse horse before we go to our next break?
Yes.
Baby geniuses endorse letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse.
Endorse horse.
Riding off into the sunset. Now here's something we endorse.
What is it?
It's for the podcast, Nice White Parents.
Ooh.
Which is being released, I think, via the New York Times and Serial. It's about the effect of, like, white parents on the public school system.
Ooh.
And the ways in which they have wielded their power. And it's fascinating. And also, like, especially as someone who went to a lot of private schools, makes me think a lot about the meaning of it and what it's all, like, how those spaces have been really, like, just perpetually fucked up.
That sounds just really interesting.
It's super interesting. They've released, I think, 3 episodes so far. Hannah Jaffe Walt hosts it.
Hmm.
And it's sort of from the perspective of her as someone who has been through the process of, like, public school shopping as
yeah.
a, like, wealthy white person in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And examining the history behind one particular public school and the influence that white parents have wielded and how it has affected the community.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I do not envy parents having to, like, sort through decisions about things like that. Because, I mean, having kids, like, of course you're going to be a bit selfish and want the best for them at any cost. Like, I totally understand that. Yeah, I mean, not only that, but, like, now, I mean, with COVID, like, trying to figure out how to get your kids taken care of and, like, oh, my God.
It all just feels very, it's all super fraught. And I think,
it
complicates your decision making in ways that are, like, you cannot leave the well-being of all kids up to the intentions of parents of individual, like, of course they're all going to be incentivized to just, like, want, you know, resources for their own children, like,
mm-hmm.
you cannot leave it up to them to choose to do the quote-unquote right thing or to anyway, that's my endorse horse.
That's a good one.
Do you have one?
I already mentioned United Skates being a great documentary. Everyone should check it out. It's on HBO. I guess that's it.
Cool. We'll be right back with Wiki of the Week. Baby Geniuses is brought to you by KiwiCo. If you have a kid at home who is restless and needs something to do, whether that person is an actual child or it's you and you're an adult, check out KiwiCo and get a science fair or art class delivered right to your door.
I have a lot of friends with little kids and they're struggling for projects to do with them right now. And I think that they would really enjoy this. Like, I'm looking at one of the sets right now, the Koala Crate, which is for ages 2 to 4. And they have this, like, ocean game set that comes with books about the ocean and, like, a little paper crafts sort of project they can do. And this seems so fun. You can go fishing with it. It's really cute.
It's so cool. I feel like it's sort of like the equivalent of, like, a meal delivery kit, but for art projects, because if you're someone who doesn't know how to start or doesn't want to stock up on all of the ingredients that you need to do something and then have a bunch left over, like, it's good. It delivers everything you need for it and you get to experiment with a bunch of different things.
Yeah, you don't have to do any of the annoying prep or, like, buying supplies or anything. It just comes with everything you need so that you can have fun with your kids and learn with them together.
Yeah. Do your part to encourage your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. They won't believe what they can build and accomplish with KiwiCo.
There are different crates for kids of all ages, so there's something for every kid on your list.
KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo.
Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/geniuses. That's kiwico.com/geniuses. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors and...
Nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor and I'm a medical enthusiast and we create... Okay. Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
It's time for Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Sciophiles. Thank you.
Thank you.
For sending us, it is the Wikipedia page for Giulia Tofana. This was apparently going around a lot
on Twitter.
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
I'm down to cover it. I usually don't like covering things that have been well covered by other outlets or that everyone's already hip to, but this one's still really good. So hopefully this hasn't like exploded in popularity between now and when this episode is released.
We'll see.
Giulia Tofana died in Rome July 1659.
Oh, she died.
Yeah, she is not a 450-year-old woman. was an Italian professional poisoner. She was famous for selling poison to women who wanted to murder their abusive husbands. She was the inventor of the famous poison Acqua Tofana, which is named after her.
Wow. The information about her background is sparse. She was born in 1620 in Palermo and was possibly the daughter of Tofana d'Almo, who was executed in Palermo on July 12th, 1633, accused of having murdered her husband, Francis. Oh, so it runs in the family.
Tofana was a family business.
Yeah. Tofana was described as beautiful, and she spent a lot of time with apothecaries, was present when they made their potions, and eventually developed her own poison, Acqua Tofana. It is, however, also possible that it was her mother, Tofana d'Almo, who made the poison and passed the recipe on to her daughter. She began to sell this poison to women who wanted to escape abusive husbands. Her daughter, Girolama Spira, was also active in this. She eventually moved her business to Naples and Rome.
Wow. I love this. And her daughter also has a Wikipedia page, too. Yeah. And the poison itself has its own Wikipedia page, too, which I want to touch on after we finish with this. Giulia was sympathetic to the low status of women and most often sold her poison to women trapped in unhealthy and dangerous marriages. She became known as a friend to the troubled wife and received many referrals. Tofana's business was finally revealed to the papal authorities by a customer. However, she was so popular that the locals protected her from apprehension. She escaped to a church where she was granted sanctuary. When a rapid rumor claiming that she had poisoned the water tore through Rome, the police forced their way into the church and dragged Tofana in for questioning.
Death. Under torture, she confessed to killing 600 men with her poisons in Rome alone between 1633 and 1651, but this cannot be confirmed owing to the torture and the widespread distribution of the poison.
Yeah, she was... I will take any opportunity to point out that any confession that is coerced is not reliable in any way.
Yeah.
Whether it's because you're being held by the police for a really long time or because you're being tortured or anything like that. Most confessions that are obtained under any kind of duress cannot be relied upon. It's just one of the many ways in which the criminal justice system is fucked beyond belief.
This podcast is taking a stand against torture.
Yes, against torture, but also against coerced confessions torture or other things. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
Sorry, I wasn't making fun. I do believe those things are awful.
Yes.
She was ultimately executed in Rome in the Campo de Fiori, together with her daughter, Girolama Spira, known as Astrologia della Longara, and three helpers in July 1659. After her death, her body was thrown over the wall of the church that had provided her with sanctuary. Some of the users and purveyors were also arrested and executed, while other accomplices were bricked into the dungeons of the Palazzo Pucci.
Jesus!
Wow. Bricked into.
Being bricked in. So it's just like they build a wall around you and you die? Ugh, that's horrible.
That's awful.
Confusions. I love any Wikipedia page that has a section called Confusions. There are incorrect references to her purported execution in Naples in 1719. The legend that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart might have been poisoned using aqua tofana is completely unsubstantiated.
Tofana is in many sources confused with Hieronima Spara, La Spara, a woman with a similar profession in Italy about the same time. Probably this is another name of the Astrologia della Lungara.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So that's that Wikipedia page.
The link from her daughter's name just links back to the same page.
Redirects to her.
Yeah.
Okay, but can we talk about the page for Aqua Tofana?
We sure can.
Let's do it. Just following on that.
It was a strong poison that was reputedly widely used in Naples, Perugia, and Rome, Italy, during the early 17th century.
And
what was in it?
Yeah. The ingredients of the mixture are basically known, but not how they were blended. Aqua tofana contained mostly arsenic and lead and possibly belladonna. It was a colorless, tasteless liquid and therefore easily mixed with water or wine to be served during meals. Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Belladonna is a deadly nightshade.
Oh, that makes sense. The symptoms. Aqua tofana was able to go unnoticed as it has no taste and is clear. It was slow-acting, resembling progressed diseases or death from natural causes. The symptoms seen are similar to the effects of arsenic poisoning. There were a number of symptoms exhibited by those poisoned by aqua tofana. The first small dosage would produce cold-like symptoms. The victim was very ill by the third dosage. Symptoms include throwing up, dehydration, diarrhea. They spelled diarrhea with an O, which is really amazing to me.
That's always funny.
And a burning sensation in the digestive system. The antidote often given was vinegar and lemon juice. The fourth dosage would kill the victim. As it was slow acting, it allowed victims time to prepare for their death, including writing a will and repenting.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good, giving them a little time.
Yeah.
Wow. How horrifying.
Yeah.
Probably not a good way to murder someone these days, because I think it could probably be detected pretty easily.
Yeah, I think people
with an autopsy. So maybe don't go about that if you're considering it.
This has this has more information about the legend of Mozart as well.
Read it.
Yeah, the legend that Mozart might have been poisoned using aqua tofana is completely unsubstantiated, even though it was Mozart himself who started this rumor.
Why?
I don't know.
Why he do that?
He was pretty eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
Research by musicologists Oliver Hahn and Claudia Maurer Zink on Mozart's manuscripts, however, found large amounts of arsenic in the manuscript of Die Zauberflöte, the opera Mozart was working on toward the end of his life. Arsenic is one of the most important ingredients in aqua tofana. So it's possible.
Did he poison himself?
I don't know. I think I give the movie Amadeus way too much credit for being factually accurate when I know that it isn't.
Yeah. It's a fun one, though.
It is, but I'm like, he was a womanizer. He was probably killed by some woman that he wronged.
Yeah, maybe. Or by that dude, Salieri.
yeah.
He did it. He was jealous.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, the only other piece of information on this page that I think is worth noting was that there was much disquiet throughout Italy when she was executed, and many of her clients fled, while others were strangled in prison. And indeed, many were publicly executed. Between 1666 and 1676, the Marchioness de Brinvilliers poisoned her father, two brothers, amongst others, and was executed on July 16th.
Damn.
Anyway, I think it's very fascinating. I'm super appreciative that this was brought to our attention. How do you feel about this woman?
I was just wondering about that. I was thinking, like, I guess if you are truly, like, abusing and imprisoning your spouse, you maybe are asking for a poisoning.
Just yeah, a little, I mean, especially at this time when there was just no other option.
Yeah, there's no other recourse for them. So I guess, like, just like a light poisoning, really, you know, you deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this was a pretty cool lady in a way. I mean, I'm glad that I don't have cause to poison anyone.
Me too. I'm feeling very privileged in my life of not really, I can't think of a single person I'd want to, well, I can, no.
Yeah, listen.
Some people I don't know personally, but I think they, you know, are asking for a light poisoning.
They are, as you say, cruising for a bruising.
They're cruising for a bruising via arsenic.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to name names because I know y'all would snitch tag them.
Yeah, but I think we've talked about them earlier in the episode.
Possibly, yeah. and it's that actor on Just Shoot Me. Just kidding.
Yes. No, he doesn't deserve to die.
He doesn't deserve to die.
But he does deserve to be replaced in that show.
Emily, stop calling for this actor's death. This podcast has gotten so strange.
I mean, also talk about voices that don't make me horny. I do not like his voice.
Wow, really just dragging this man to shreds.
He really doesn't deserve it. He's probably a fine person.
I'm sure.
Well, that concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
Oh, God, not a lot. Nothing.
Okay. I learned that there was this poison that was odorless and colorless and tasteless.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm eating and drinking, I never like worry that I've been poisoned, but maybe I should. Maybe I should keep an eye on things.
I'm always worried that I'm giving myself food poisoning.
Me too.
Because of something I don't know about how food works.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I'm being poisoned by anyone else.
I hope not.
Yeah. Well, that's our show. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to plug that my new book, I Want You, is coming out this week. And it's a collection of older comics, but it has some previously unpublished stuff in it. It has some new intro comics. And me and Emily are doing an event for it at Powell's, a virtual event, on the 20th. So
yes.
If you all want to tune in for that, I'm sure there's a way you can find
it's
it.
Thursday the 20th, I believe it's, is it 5 p.m. Pacific?
I think so.
Something like that.
You can find
we'll
all the info on Instagram, my Instagram, or Drawn in Quarterlies or Powell's. I'm sure we'll have info.
Yeah. Cool.
It'll be a lot like the Instagram Live we did the other night, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about that. I was so high.
I
went live on Instagram to pet my dog. And then you sent a request to join it, and I approved it. And then we just talked for a while, and I read to you from a book about dogs.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very successful.
Yeah, I did too. But then I, when I had the choice to save the video permanently on my Instagram, I said no.
I was
worried about what was in it.
I just wanted it to be like an ephemeral thing.
But it was the first time I'd gone live. It made me want to do it again.
Isn't it fun? I really enjoy
it. It's pretty
it.
Fun,
yeah.
All right. Thank you to our producer, Rob Pera.
Thank you for our music, Nate Heller.
You can write to us at babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone who became a member.
Oh, yes.
Maximum Fun.
Thank you so much for everyone, all the new and upgrading and supportive members of Max Fun, all of you.
Yeah. And goodbye.
Yay.
We know everything, baby geniuses. We know everything, baby.
geniuses. We know everything. Baby geniuses. We know everything.
I started listening to Ono, Ross, and Carrie shortly after I broke my arm.
I couldn't get my book started.
I was lost, honestly.
I knew it was time to make a change.
There's something about Oh No, Ross and Carrie that you just can't get anywhere else.
They're thought leaders, discoverers, founders.
I'd call them heroes.
Ross and Carrie don't just report on fringe science, spirituality, and claims of the paranormal. They take part themselves.
They show up so you don't have to.
But you might find that you want to.
Arm is better.
I wrote an entire book this weekend. It's terrible, but I did it.
Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Thank you, Ross and Carrie.
Ono, Ross and Carrie is just a podcast. It doesn't do anything. It's just sounds you listen to in your ears. All these people are made up. Goodbye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.